Welcome to Polka Dotsie's Body Love Podcast, the podcast where we talk about all things health, fitness, and body positivity with your host, Chloe Pedley.
Thanks for tuning into the show today. I'm talking with Emma Paulette, who is the Body Love Coach. She is a 44-year-old health coach, personal trainer, and yoga teacher. Her clients call her a real woman for real women. She has run her business Blue Sky Vitality for over 4 years. After spending most of her time thinking that a flat tummy would solve all of her problems, things changed in early 2017 when she had a hysterectomy to treat her stage 4 endometriosis. Emma decided that her body had been punished enough and made it her mission to help women live bright and energetic lives, free from calorie counting and flogging themselves at the gym. You're talking my language, Emma. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I'm glad we speak the same language.
I love tummies in all shapes and sizes. So,
yeah, it's still a journey for me because I had a very long history of waking up every morning and going straight to the mirror and pulling up my top and just seeing how big my tummy was. And that was always going to be the determination of how good my day was going to be. So I can't say that I never do that, but I hardly ever do that anymore. Transformation is possible.
Absolutely. I think that's a really common thing that we do as women as well, because like this marker of our quality as a person seems to be how little space we can take up. And Wrinkly jiggly bits seem to have no part in that paradigm. And we all have these bodies with jiggle and curves and, well, sometimes not even, but there's such a range of bodies.
Absolutely. And I mean, I've got friends and clients that are very tiny people because that's just the way their body works, but they wish they were stronger and, you know, had more curves. So it's really hard for women to feel satisfied with themselves, I think.
Absolutely. So you're the Body Love Coach. How did that come about? What's your story?
I started personal training probably just over four and a half years ago. Let's say 5 years ago, I was living in Sydney. I live in Albany in Western Australia now, which is quite a small town. But I used to live in Sydney for over 15 years. And for a long time, I'd worked in a stressful corporate kind of environment. I was selling shampoo. And so I was in that real health and health, but it's probably more beauty environment. Mm. So everything was about how women looked and let's help women look better. But also the job itself, I fell into it. I didn't love it and spent a lot of my time at work in my cubicle whinging. I really want to apologise to anyone that I used to work with because I used to be the biggest whinger because I was living a life that wasn't authentic to me. And so, as I said, you know, I used to thrash myself at the gym because my tummy was too big. So I'd get up really early in the morning, go to the gym, go hard, get to work, feel exhausted, eat crappy food all day, feel guilty about that, probably go to the gym again at night, have a few drinks, wake up the next morning feeling like crap, getting up early to go to the gym, and there was the treadmill, the cycle I was on, and I wasn't happy. So at the same time, I was getting quite unwell with what turned out to be endometriosis, and so that used to really affect my energy levels, my motivation, pain. I was in pain a lot of the time. So I had my first surgery for that in 2009, and after I had that surgery, I was like, oh, right, so I've been in pain constantly for years, and I didn't realise it. So that was quite a huge realisation. Went back to the job I didn't like. 2 years later, I needed another surgery for my endo. That time they took out one of my ovaries. And at that point, I was thinking, there must be something more to life. And I got this little tiny slip of paper in my junk, you know, in my letterbox junk mail. I say to people, read your junk mail sometimes because you never know what's in there. A little tiny slip of paper saying boxing classes just around the corner. And I thought, another way I can lose some weight. I'm going to go do some boxing. Rocked up, started punching things and just felt amazing. I think there was a lot of pent-up anger I had to get rid of. But I just loved being outside. It was an outdoor class. I loved the fitness element. But also I think I'd spent so much time trying to get skinnier but didn't realise how good it felt to feel strong, and that's what boxing made me feel like as well. And within about three sessions I was hooked. I wanted to be a personal trainer. rang my mum here in Albany and said, "Mum, can I move home with you for a while and change my life?" And she's like, "Sure, when are you coming?"
No,
so, yeah, I'm very lucky. So within 6 months, I'd moved here to Albany. I'd never lived here before, so I started studying and had to create a business completely from scratch. But yeah, it was that combo of being unwell, of not being in a job that I liked, and just needing a change, and ended up doing this. So yeah.
So you've moved into personal training, but that space isn't necessarily always filled with body positive attitudes and body positive messages. How did that grow for you?
Well, I definitely, because I did a health coaching course as well, and I guess I came out of that thinking, if I help women feel good about their bodies, i.e. lose weight, then that's really empowering for women. That's what I thought at the time, and So most of the people that were coming to me were about weight loss. So I thought, well, if that's what people want, then that's what I should be giving. But then at the beginning of, most of 2016, I started to get unwell with my endometriosis again, and really had to walk my own talk and say, you know, sometimes I had to cancel clients, cancel classes and say, I can't thrash my body and get out of bed actually today. I'm so in so much pain. I'm so tired. So that led to me having a hysterectomy, as you said, at the beginning of 2017. And I kind of, you know, a couple of days in while I was still in hospital, I don't know, I'm a bit woo-woo sometimes. So something from the universe came down to me and just told me, your body has seriously had enough, Emma. Like, it's time to completely love it instead of anything else. Just do what your body needs and, you know, look after it with love. And that's really sort of impacted how I help other women now as well. So even when people come to me and say, I really want to lose weight, I always say to them, I'm not going to be weighing you. I'm not going to be measuring you. That's not how I work with clients. You know, I want to help you feel better, but that's not what I do. So, you know, occasionally someone won't take me as their personal trainer, and that's fine. We're not the right fit, so that's cool. But then even later on, I engaged a business coach, and she was giving me some feedback about a webpage I'd put together. And she was commenting on some photos, and the first photo she commented on, she goes, I don't really love what you're wearing, and look, there's really too much tummy. And I was like, whoa. And then she scrolled down talking about some more of photos, and she said, oh, that photo there really looks like a before photo as opposed to before and after photos. And then the photo underneath, she goes, oh, I love that photo. And that photo was over 2 years old. So it's kind of like, that's not representative of me now. And I was actually gutted by this conversation. And I spent almost a week, like almost bursting into tears every time I thought about it. There were some tears. Mm. And finally, I realized, wow, I don't talk about myself like that anymore. I used to be the first one to comment on how big my tummy looked or how crappy I looked in a photo. And so since then, I've just become extremely passionate about helping women do the same and understand that if you can free up that brain space that is like filled with, do I look all right? Is this photo okay? Should I be wearing this? And all that stuff, and just focus on how good you can feel, or some days you don't feel good and that's okay as well. How much more brain power would the world have if we could free more women from all those kind of thoughts? And
I think you've touched on something that's incredibly powerful there, because it's almost as if we are made to be smaller to keep us controlled. And yeah. I generally avoid like these radical feminist like discussions on the podcast, and I probably shouldn't, because I think it's really important that we embrace our voice and we embrace, you know, our fierceness. And, you know, if we're always told that we're not enough, we buy more things to make us enough.
Yeah.
We always feel inadequate, so we never step into our true power, and, you know, we're not a threat.
Yeah.
You're right. Like the minute that we love ourselves, the minute that we unconditionally fall in love with ourselves, it's a different existence.
It's completely different. And there's just so much more space and time and I was reading a really good article this week about the headline was something about fake tans and how Trump has impacted who wants to have fake tans. So orange, like making a difference.
Yeah.
And they were talking about some recent magazine covers where some actresses weren't completely faked tan. So mm-hmm. there's like, oh wow. But then they delved deeper and said, but we're talking about three women, and it was Tina Fey, Emma Stone, and Margot Robbie.
All of whom are incredibly pale skinned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were all on the cover of Vanity Fair. So mm-hmm. that's a big magazine. It's quite a highbrow magazine compared to some of the other celebrity type magazines. And all of these women are very good at what they do as their profession, which is actresses. All three of those women were put on the cover in some sort of bikini or bathers or something like that.
Isn't that interesting?
It's so interesting. And so, like, if, you know, so, yeah, I'm a bit like you. Sometimes I'm a bit nervous about having these feminist discussions, but more and more I'm thinking maybe I should start calling myself the feminist person.
I think there's a lot of space for that, and, you know, there's a lot of scope for that. And the thing is, what really upsets me about that is all three of those actresses, Emma Stone, Tina Fey, and Margot Robbie, incredibly intelligent, incredibly amazing, powerful women.
Yeah.
Extraordinary actresses, but outside of acting, they have this amazing voice for women, and they use it. So, you know, when women get scary and when women get a little bit bigger in terms of, like, the space we can occupy,
yeah,
we have to, you know, almost cut their legs off and put them in a bikini to make sure that they know where they stand.
Yes. Yeah. So, and so I think we're all so conditioned by that, like, someone had to write an article for me to sort of really process it. But once I read it, I was like, oh, that's so true. Like, why do we see so much of that? We don't, you know, we don't see as often, at least, you know, Brad Pitt in his undies on a cover. They might be inside the magazine.
But selling underwear,
yeah.
Yeah. If standing in your undies was empowering, every single man, including Donald Trump, would have done so.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, I mean, that says to me that the powerful people in the world know how to get power, and it's got very little to do with the clothing that we wear or the lack of clothing
that we wear. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is an incredibly, incredibly interesting discussion. And your business coach, her message to you, that she's looking at you and she's looking at you through the lens of, and forgive me for this language, but the fat personal trainer metaphor. Yes. So you cannot possibly be a quality trainer unless you have your six-pack abs, your muscles, your all of that.
Yeah, and I don't think... To be honest, knowing her, I don't, and she has a podcast as well, and she's gotten quite deep into her sort of history with body image. And I listened to that, I heard that subsequent to this whole situation.
Mm.
I think she was like, it was her being actually quite protective of me.
Mm.
So it wasn't that she thinks that I need to be a skinny mini to be a personal trainer. She's actually comes from a yoga background, and she has a very open mind about these things. But I think it was almost from that, like, if you put yourself out there in that way, you may not get as many clients kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not from a, you're not good enough. It was like, I'm totally have your back. I just think this will be the better option for you.
Absolutely. Because this is the perception. This is the status quo. Mm-hmm. Personal trainers must be fit appearing. And yes. I choose those words carefully, and healthy appearing,
yeah,
in order to be quality trainers and attract business, which is so far from the truth. There are amazing personal trainers out there. We're healthy, we're fit, we're strong. We've recovered from our own challenges, and we have thriving businesses. So
yeah,
I think you're doing amazing things by challenging that paradigm.
Yeah, thank you.
So you help women to fall radically in love with their bodies. Tell me a little bit about how you do that. Do you have a program that you offer?
Yeah, so I've got a couple of different things. I have what I call the Body Love Bootcamp, which is a 12-week one-on-one program with me, and that's where more of my coaching comes into it rather than the training or the yoga.
Yeah.
And it does delve into that kind of woo-woo stuff as well as some practical things. So it sort of has three phases. So the first phase is really about engaging in what you want to achieve, which is releasing yourself from all this old baggage of how you're supposed to look and how you're supposed to feel about your body. So, you know, some really deep things like, you know, decluttering that old, those old mindsets and really forgiving yourself and other people and maybe even the patriarchy for, you know, why you've been so hard on yourself.
People aren't going to see the video because I'm just like totally fist pumped there. So.
But yeah, so it's like a step by step. And then the second phase is more about really believing that you can. And so using techniques like meditation and affirmations and things like that to sort of change that mindset. And then the third phase is the actual loving of the body by finding movement that works and eating well and, you know, actual taking actual practical steps. So that's a really, that's a deep one. It's a one-on-one program, you know, and you can see a lot of transformation in people just over 12 weeks with that one.
I think that's beautiful. This is obviously not just for women in Albany, is it? You can...
No, so yeah, we can coach like we're talking right now on something called Zoom, which is like free and it's like Skype. I usually do my sessions on Zoom because you can record. So yeah. It's really good for clients because then they can see if they want to have a replay of remember what was said or, you know, reflect on things, they get the replay as well.
So. Absolutely. And the quality is pretty good too. So. And in addition to that, you do a lot with mindfulness, and I mean, you call it woo-woo stuff, but mindfulness is actually a scientifically proven strategy to help us. So,
yeah, absolutely. There was a study in 2014. I'll tell you who they were, just the people. It was Albertson, Neff and Dill Shackelford. I think that's a double-barreled name. But anyway, some scientists in America, I think it was, did a study with women. They had a control group and the study group, and they were doing 3 weeks, I think it was every day for 10 minutes, they did a self-compassion meditation, and they did that every day for 3 weeks, and they measured their satisfaction levels with their body before and afterwards. And so the women that meditated had a much greater appreciation for their body as their body is now. So they had a lot more body positive confidence as well as body positivity. And so then they retested them even 3 months later, and even if they hadn't continued the meditation, they still had that increased levels compared to the control group. So it's just amazing how much just, you know, working on your mind can make a difference to how you feel about your body.
Absolutely, being kind to yourself, because we can't always wake up and I love myself, I like this is fabulous, I'm in love. We can't always do that.
Absolutely.
But what we can do is be a little bit kinder and a little bit more compassionate. So
yeah. And it's a muscle. You know, you've got, just like your body has muscles, so does this kind of feeling of self-compassion. It doesn't come because you decide to. It's something you actually need to work on as well, because there is so much conditioning around us. It's so easy to fall back into the old patterns. So a daily mindfulness practice, although, you know, I wrote a blog post recently, like, as a personal trainer, would I choose exercise or meditation if I could only do one? And I think for most people, when they're starting on a kind of body love kind of journey, I feel the meditation is actually a little bit more powerful than the exercise. Because if you can find that self-compassion first, then you're not going to beat yourself up when you don't get to the gym. You're not going to, you know, kill yourself because you had a packet of chips. You're only going to have that self-compassion that will go with this new lifestyle that you've decided to live. So
absolutely. It reframes everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah. So the other program that I have is like an online subscription program. So every week the subscribers get some workouts they can do at home, a new recipe just so that they can, you know, mix things up in the kitchen. But they also get a new, like, sort of, most of them are 10-minute mindfulness, self-compassion, body love meditation that they can do for that week as well. So then they've got the whole three sort of important things covered.
I think that's absolutely incredible and absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
See, I love chatting with trainers in this space. I think it's literally world-changing what you're doing. It truly is. Yeah. Because, you know, if you empower women and you lift women up, you do, you change the world. And we might not have the Donald Trumps sitting up in power over the next decade. We might actually have something that's compassionate and bigger and kinder and healthier for everybody. So more power to you.
Oh, thank you. And you.
Thank you. We can just sit here and talk about how awesome we are. Yeah. So did you want to leave the listeners with some tips to get started on their body love journeys or?
Yeah, sure. So the first one I think is really finding the movement that you love, because it is so important, because, you know, it does make such a difference to your mindset if you, you know, are moving your body regularly. But I think it's really important to be, again, self-compassionate about it and understand that just because you love Zumba today doesn't mean that you're going to love it tomorrow, and that you don't have to do the same thing day in, day out. In fact, it's probably better not to. But even in my class this morning, one of my students was saying how her daughter's just started at the gym, and she said, oh, you know, if you're having a day where you don't feel like doing anything, maybe I'm started doing hula hooping. Maybe you can start doing hula hooping at home. And I said, yeah, that's awesome. But if she also is so tired, she doesn't want to go to the gym, then she just doesn't do anything that day.
Yeah.
Like, fine to do nothing. So just understanding that, you know, the moon cycle and your menstrual cycle and the seasons and all, you know, the levels of stress in your life, that's all going to impact. So just, I think, being kind about the fact that there's not one way for any one person, and there's not one way for the whole world either. Like, we're all individuals.
Absolutely.
And the second thing is actually, it's a tried and true thing, but just turning it on its head a little bit when it comes to nutrition, and that's keeping a food diary, but not so that you can go, oh, look at all the crap that I ate. You know, I should stop eating all those things. It's more about, I really like using a food diary with a mood diary at the same time. So it's like, you know, how did I feel before I ate this meal? How do I feel after the meal?
Yeah.
Because I think really understanding how the food's making you feel makes a massive impact. I had my 9-year-old nephew stay with me on Friday night, and he is a massive sugar addict.
Yeah.
Little thing. And I'd had some friends over for some drinks, so he was allowed to have some lemonade. He had the first lemonade, he had the second lemonade. And he said, Ania, can I have another lemonade or maybe a soda water? And I said, oh, what do you think? What is your body telling you you need? And he said, oh, I think I have the soda water. So it's really interesting when we do give ourselves that space to say, what does the body really want? The body will normally tell us.
Yeah. So
I think that's really cool. And then, of course, the third thing is adding in a mindfulness practice. And a really good place to start if your listeners have never done any mindfulness is the Headspace app. So it's headspace.com, and that's a really great place to start if anyone wants to start somewhere.
Yeah. That's absolutely incredible and beautiful, beautiful advice. It's all very, very strong advice. And, you know, we've had some great guests on the show who also talk about this stuff, intuitive movement, intuitive eating, and taking care of what's going on in our minds. I'm really excited about the way our industry is changing, and it's people like you who are driving it. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast. I'm super excited about getting this episode out and published.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
No, my absolute pleasure. So for those of you who want to get in contact with Emma, what you need to do is just have a look at the links in the description.